always tell. But good morning. Thank you all for being here. I'm super excited. As I already mentioned, this is a great Sunday for us. And I'm just excited to see so many people in the room today and just excited about the things that God has for the church. And when I say church, I don't mean specifically this building and the Brighton Heights location. I mean the universal church. There's some exciting things happening. I just want to share with you, and I want us to celebrate this. Right now, over at New Life Community Church in Bellevue, Pastor Don Brown, they're baptizing 5 people, and it's the first baptism that's happened in their church in a very long time. Yeah, let's celebrate it. Let's celebrate it. And because of that, they asked if we could, if they could borrow our baptismal. So we set that up for them so that they could have that opportunity to, for people to take that next step in their life and to be water baptized and say, God, I'm living for you. And so that is what it is to be the church. That is what it is to be the universal church. So we celebrate that. We celebrate that we can come alongside of that. Yes, the baptisms aren't happening here how they normally do in this corner, but they're happening in the church. People are taking that next step for God in the church, and we're all a part of it, and we're all moving towards that. And that's a perfect segue for the message today, because we are continuing in our message sermon series called Red Letters, where we're taking a look at the 7 churches in Revelation and the way that Jesus spoke about each one. We've gone week by week covering each church and just what is God speaking to that church? What is God trying to communicate? What's Jesus saying to them? And so we've gone through it, and I hope you're enjoying this sermon series. I really do, because I am. I'm trying to put myself in this place of, okay, if I was in this church, what was Jesus saying to me? How do I then take that and put it into my life? Because here's the thing. Even though the Bible was written so many years ago, such a long time ago, that those words still mean something to us today, that Jesus is still speaking something to us today through those words. And we don't just read those words, right? We don't just read those words and say, ah, that was for them. What's God have for me? No, we read it and say, yes, that was for them, but then what does God have for me in this as well? And so we need to put ourselves in this sermon series in a way that we are looking at it from that perspective, saying, what is Jesus saying to me? And it's all titled Red Letters because it's Jesus speaking. And we've said this, I think, every week. Anytime that there's red letters and Jesus is speaking, what should we be doing? Listening, right? We should be listening. We should be paying attention anytime that Jesus speaks. So I'm excited about this. We're going to keep moving forward in week 6 of our sermon series. And today, the only thing I'm not excited about is the church is Philadelphia. The church is Philadelphia. I know when I gave the message on Smyrna, I did talk about Philadelphia a little bit, and it was even hard to do that. Now I have to do a whole, 30 minutes on Philadelphia. So it's going to be a challenge, but it's going to be fun because the words mean something. There is an importance in this. And why are we spending so much time on this? Why are we spending so much time in Revelation? You know, some churches don't even open to Revelation, right? So why are we spending time on it? Because churches have mandates. Churches have things that God has called them to do. There are missions. There are things that they are specifically called to do in the kingdom of God. And there's a mandate on their church. And the mandate is that we are supposed to bring heaven to earth. We are supposed to be those people that evangelize, that we are supposed to share who God is. We are supposed to talk about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. That is the mandate that is placed on not only this church, but all churches. So it's important for us to understand the responsibility that we have, that we are to increase the kingdom of God here on earth. That we want to see the earth look more like heaven. How many people would like to see that? Come on, let's see hands. How many people would like to see earth look more like heaven? We're not satisfied with the way things are. And I know there's people like, I can't wait to get to heaven. That's a phrase that we hear. And it's not a bad one. But why wait for that? Why wait for that time when we could have it here on earth? Right? My favorite candy bar, Snickers. Hungry, why wait? Heaven, why wait? Like, that's the church's slogan, right? It should be. I know there's probably some copyright issues there, but it should be the mission of the church. Heaven, why wait? We're not going to wait. We're going to bring it now. Why? Because there's a mandate. There's a message that Jesus is sharing. There's a reminder to stay on mission. If you come here on a weekly basis, if you're a part of teams, you hear that often, that we're going to be on mission, that we're going to stay on mission. Nothing is going to derail it. Nothing is going to change that because we know that that's the mandate that God has placed on this church. We're not going to move off of our mark because of circumstances, because of what society thinks. We're not going to do it. We're going to stay on mission because we know that that's what God has for us. So as you guys turn to Revelation chapter 3 in your Bibles, we're going to get started in verse 7 with the church of Philadelphia. And it says, "Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open." And again, in each letter, he addresses who he is. Jesus talks about who he is. He is the one who is holy. He is true. Again, telling them, making sure that they understand who he is and the significance of what is to come means to them, right? If someone doesn't have a position of authority and they write you an email, what happens to it? You throw it in the junk, you delete it. But if it's the CEO of your company and he writes you an email, you pay attention. So Jesus is establishing his authority to the church of Philadelphia by saying that he is the Holy One, that he is true. But then he says, he is the one that has the key of David. And we know that Jesus, in the lineage of David, is that king that came to save God's people. We know that. He has the key. And we all know what keys are, right? We all have them. I don't have them in my pocket today. But we all have keys. They open things, right? In order to get into a door, in order to get into our car, we need a key. We need it to be able to open something. Keys also solve things. Breakout rooms. Some fun events. We did a VBS in the summer where it was the theme was breakout rooms. There's keys that give you clues that help you to solve a problem, to solve things. They're also necessary elements for success. Sports guy, love sports. A lot of commentators, when you turn on the Steeler game, not so much baseball. Well, I don't know. Maybe the Pirates are okay. I don't know. But when you turn on the Steeler game, one of the first things the commentators say are, here are the keys to success for each team. They spell it out. The Steelers need to do this. They need to do that. And if they do, they're going to win. There's going to be victory. So they're essential for victory. But there's also a significance when it comes to authority. In Isaiah 22:22, it says, "I will give him the key to the house of David, the highest position in the royal court. When he opens doors, no one will be able to close them. When he closes doors, no one will be able to open them." Christ has the authority over every door. And when I'm talking about doors, I mean opportunities. I'm talking about the things in life that we're praying about, that we want to see happen in our life, right? Those promotions in our jobs, those breakthroughs in relationships, right? When we want to hear the voice of God, those doors that he wants to open, he is the one that has the authority. He has the authority over every door. Jesus is specifically saying in this, he's being very, very specific. He's saying that I am the Son. I am the chosen one. I sit on the throne forever. He's specifically saying that. This is like when Pastor Gary dubbed it the Northside version, right? This is the Northside version of this scripture, that he is the Son, that he has control. He's in control. He unlocks things, okay? He has the solutions. He's also a necessary part for our victory. Anyone ever been locked out of their car, locked their keys in their car? Maybe in their house, locked their keys, or locked out of the house? How about this one? Anyone ever been stuck in an elevator? Stuck in an elevator? Yeah. So, right, you know that there's a problem, okay? It's happened to Leanne and I a few times, unfortunately, prior to COVID money and being able to put an electric garage door in. It really was bad. We were sliding through windows and everything. But anyways, the point is, you have to call out to somebody. You have to call someone. I call my dad, but he's like, I lost that key a while ago. So then I got to call the next person. Okay? And I call that person, and then what do they say? Hey, I'll be there, but it might take me some time. If you're locked out of the car, you better go find a park bench because AAA, it's going to be like 2 hours before they get. So go find a park bench and at least get a tan or something. But you wait. And maybe it's a little frustrating because you want it to happen sooner. You got somewhere to go. You need to do this thing, but you can't because you don't have the key. And you're waiting for someone that has the authority to unlock it. And then when they come, you're excited because they have the key. They have the solution to the problem. They are able to give you the access that you need. Jesus Christ holds the key. Jesus Christ has the ability to give you the access to the promises that God has for your life. That's what Jesus has for you. He holds the key. He holds the key. But how many times are we going outside of Jesus to try to get the things that we need? That the things that we think that we need, the things that we think that we need to accomplish, the things that we think we need to do, we're going outside of Jesus. But it says that he opens and no one will shut. And what he shuts, no one will open. No human can open a door that Jesus doesn't want open. So quit going to your boss asking for that raise, asking for that promotion. Quit going to your spouse saying, let's get out of this neighborhood. I don't feel safe. I don't want to be in this neighborhood. Quit asking a human to open a door for you that can't be open. Instead, let's turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you have for me? What door do you want open? Listen, no enemy can hold you back either. That person that you think is against you, that neighbor that might give you a hard time, or even that coworker at work, maybe it's even your supervisor that you feel like you're not progressing in the company because of that person because they have something against you. They can't close the door on you. If God wants to open it, if Jesus wants to open it for you, he will. It will happen. But see, we get so caught up and it's this person, my enemy, this person that has something against me is holding me back. No, that's not the case. God is waiting for you to be ready for the blessing that he has. Amen? No circumstance can override his authority. No matter what we deal with, the things that we go through, whether they're good or bad, none of that can override the authority that Jesus Christ had. None of that can override what God wants to do. So what do we learn from this? We learn that every opportunity that he gives us is secure. Believe that. Receive that. Because when we walk out of these doors and we get into the real world and something, this opposition comes against us, the first thing that we forget is God. The first thing that we forget is that God has a plan for us, that he's going to open doors, and that it's secure, that no one can change it. No thing can change it. Let's believe it, let's receive it, and let's live it out. Every opportunity that he gives is secure. Man, that's only one verse. Let's get on to 8. Wow. So it says, in verse 8, it says, I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. First thing he says is, I know all the things you do. And I'm sitting here thinking like, oh man. But no, he's speaking to them saying, I know the things that you do. In the other churches that we talked about, except for Smyrna, Philadelphia is the second church, that Jesus didn't have something against them. The other five churches, there was something specific that Jesus had against them. But Philadelphia and Smyrna were different. He wasn't upset with them. He knew the things that they were going through. He knew that he needed to encourage them. And it says that he opened a door, that he set an open door. And when we see this in Scripture, the way that it's used, again, in the original translations, when you see this, the phrase of an open door in other translations, it's talking about an advancement in the kingdom. It's not talking about a personal advancement. It's talking about an advancement in the kingdom. And this is where I'm going to offend a lot of you. It's not about you. This life is not about you. You do you, terrible statement to live by. You only live once, terrible statement to live by. The Toby Keith song that he's talking about, like, you usually talk about you, I want to talk about me, right? Like, that's not even the right words, but the point is that we're so busy talking about ourselves and what does this do for me? How am I going to feel? It's not about us. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about a kingdom advancement. Listen, it's all good. When we have something that we can celebrate in our life, let's celebrate it. We'll go out to dinner, right? We'll have a good time, but ultimately, we have to look at it in a different way. Why has God opened this door? Why has God put this opportunity in front of me? Because he wants to advance the kingdom. I had a job that I absolutely loved. The people that I worked with, I'm in banking, by the way. I had people that I loved. They were great. They were super supportive. I loved every minute of working with them. Another opportunity came across that was unsolicited. I've never once, this is a testimony that I'll speak on anything to people that just are saying, I don't think that God has anything for me. Listen, I've never once put a job application in. Why? Because I know that God's going to provide. I've never had to apply for a job. So I got this opportunity from someone that was online. They reached out to me and I met with them and I said, hey, listen, I'll hear you out, but I'm good. I make enough money. I love where I work. The people were great. I'm good. But there was something inside of that that was pushing me forward, that I felt like God was calling me to something more. And the comfortability of being in that position, in that role that I was in, it felt good. I knew what it was. I was secure in it. I knew that this new opportunity was going to make me so uncomfortable, and I'm 2 years in and I'm still uncomfortable. But he's called me to minister to new people. He's called me to be a person that reaches different regions of the city. I'm no longer in the north. I have to drive all the way to South Point. I'm in Washington County. I didn't even know where Greene County was before I started in this bank. But the point is that he's going to open a door for you to advance the kingdom. But we need to process it through that way. Not because, oh, well, he wants me to have a bigger house. Oh, he wants me to make more money. No, that's not the case. He wants to use it in a kingdom purpose to advance the kingdom. Amen? Amen. We can't go any further without talking about this, though. How many of us try to force ourselves through the door? Right? We try to force ourselves through the door. My shoulder is so bruised and jacked up from trying to get through that front door. It sticks, right? And so I got to do one of these, like as hard as I can to get it open. Because I'm forcing myself through the door. And we do that in life. The door is clearly closed, but we try our darndest to get through it. Stop it. Stop it. I think that's another skit from like Saturday Night Live or something like that. Stop it. Let's stop doing that. Let's hear from God. Let's go through the doors that he opens. Let's be okay with not going through the door if it's closed. Because your future is not defined by people. It's defined by the one that's holding the key. It's defined by Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So the Church of Philadelphia, just to give you a little history on it, it was founded in roughly 159 to 138 BC. And actually, it was an area that it was supposed to be a missionary city. But when it said that it was a missionary city, it was for really the expansion of Hellenism, to teach the Greek language and culture and manners to the people of the area. That's what the mission was. But it was already in their DNA, the Church of Philadelphia, it was already in the DNA to be on mission and to evangelize, right? To evangelize. The Philadelphian Christians were called to evangelize to the people around them. And yes, they had little power, it says. It says, I know you have little power. That's what Jesus said. But it didn't matter about what their size was. It didn't matter about what their influence was, right? It didn't matter about any of that because Jesus was with them. He said, I know the things you do. He said, I know the things you do. I've opened that door. I know that you have little strength, but you've obeyed my word and you have not denied me. So when we obey his word, when we don't deny him, when we keep his word, your weakness does not disqualify you. There's times when we feel like it's too much, that we can't do it, that we don't have the ability, that we don't have the capability to do things in front of us. And then we feel like, well, I'm no good. I don't feel like a real man because I can't pick that rock up in my backyard. We feel like we're useless. That there's no way that God can use us because we're weak. I think Jen used the word of comparison. When we compare ourselves to other people, we don't meet their mark. We don't live up to the things that they're doing. And so we say that we're not useful. And he's saying, no, your weakness does not disqualify you. What matters is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to him is what gives the ability for him to open those doors for you. Your faithfulness means more than power. Your faithfulness is what is important to Jesus Christ. When God opens a door for us, no force on earth can shut it. Our faithfulness means everything. So let us remember that authority comes, and it means that there is a calling on our life and that it is secure. That Christ does have the authority, and it means that your calling is secure. That your weakness does not cancel your usefulness, right? When we read that slide, when we see what's on the words, we see that God is not going to change something for us just because we ask for it. He's going to open the door that he wants to open for you. And whether you feel like you're ready for it or not, God's saying, walk through it with confidence because I am with you. Walk through it with confidence because I am there. So let's keep moving forward. Let's talk more about this faithfulness and weakness. In verse 9, it says, look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews, but they are not, to come and to bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. And let's be quick to say that this is not saying that the Philadelphian Christians are any better than the Jews, right? That's not the case. It's not like this dominance or a superiority that they have. But what it is talking about is at some point the Jews are going to realize, they're going to recognize that God's love for the Philadelphian Christians is evidence because of what they're doing on the evangelistic side, the way that they are advancing the kingdom, that God's love for his people and the people's love for him, that's what's going to be the most effective evangelism in the world, right? Because the Jews are thinking that they're doing what God has asked them to do, but in reality, they're not. They're not accomplishing the mission, but the Philadelphian Jews, they're going and they're evangelizing. They're doing what God has called them to do, and they're doing it by way of a unity. They're doing it by a way of coming together and really sharing what God has for people. They're sharing about the love that God has for them, but they're also sharing about the love that they have for God. And in John 17, verse 22 to 23, it says, "I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and I have loved them even as you have loved me." This shows the direct connection that we have with God. God loved his son. Jesus comes to the earth. He loves us. That's the connection that we have. That's the unity, right? Because God and Jesus were in a complete, perfect unity. We're now incorporated in that because we are followers of Jesus Christ, that we have accepted Jesus into our life, that he is the one that is leading us. And now we have that unity, but what we're called to do is to continue that unity here between other people, between the communities, the other workplaces that we all represent. We're called to bring that unity, that we're called to show and acknowledge, right? It says, the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So that love that God had for Jesus, he has that same love for us, and there's people that don't know that. And that's our part. That's where we come in, because they need to know that, but we do it through unity. In verse 10, it says, "Because you obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world." So what this is speaking is that we need to hold fast, that we need to endure, that there's going to be a perseverance that we must have, and that when we have that perseverance, when we have that faithfulness, God's going to deliver the promise. God has the promise waiting for you as we are obedient, as we persevere, as we remain faithful. But then it says, "I will keep you from the hour of trial." He's going to protect the faithful ones, the ones that are obedient to him, the ones that are doing what he's called them to do, the ones that are walking through the open door confidently, the ones that are not trying to push through doors that are closed. He says that, "I will protect you. I will protect you in that time of testing, that we will have that eternal life." So faithfulness in small things, it leads to God's protection in big things. So when we remain faithful in the small things, we know that we're protected in those big things. Does that anyone feel comfort in that? Anyone feel comfort in that? Because there are things that we're going to face that we're like, wow, that's going to be tough. Wow, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. But because we are faithful in the small things, God's with us in the big things. And as we start to draw to a close in Revelation 11 to 13, it says, "I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven, from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches." Again, we need to hold fast. It clearly states, "I am coming soon. I am coming soon." We have to hold fast. The fact that Jesus Christ is going to come soon, it has to motivate us to remain faithful and to have perseverance. Let no one take your crown. When we get into those modes where we think we can't and we get down on ourselves, someone is taking that crown on your head and removing it. Don't let them do that. You guys are all special. You all have a gift. You all have a talent. You're made by the Creator. He doesn't make screw-ups. He doesn't make someone that's useless. That's not who he is. That's not what he has for you. So stop believing it. Stop believing that. You have a crown on your head. He believes in you. He sees you. He loves you. He wants the best for you. There is a door. You might not see it now, but there is a door that is going to open that is specifically for you. It's specific to you. It's not whoever gets through the door first. It's your door. It says your name on the door and you're going to walk through it. That's how clear it's going to be. That's how clear he wants it to be. And he wants you to know that it's for you. It's not for somebody else. So let's wear that crown. Let's not let anyone take it. It also says that he's going to make them a pillar in God's temple. The thing about Philadelphia is they were a place that experienced earthquakes. So this thought of pillar made sense. It spoke to them. They understood it because the way that they had to build and the way that they had to design things, there needed to be strong pillars in order for them to withstand the earthquakes that would happen. You all are pillars in the church. You all are rooted deep down, strongholds in the ground, in the foundation of what Jesus is and what he's done for you. You all have that. You're called to be a pillar. What does a pillar do? It brings stability. Man, do we need stability in the world right now? We need stability, and you're called to be that stable person. You're called to be that sounding board that someone comes to and says, I don't know what to do. What do I do? I don't know either, but let's pray, right? That's the first. That's the where we start. But we're called to be the pillar. Man, Jesus isn't looking for people with great strength. He's looking for people that will remain faithful. Let me read that again. And Joel, could you throw that one up there for me? It says, Jesus isn't looking for people with great strength. And you can substitute strength with power, prestige, status, whatever it is. You can put anything in there. But it says, Jesus isn't looking for people with great strength, power, prestige, status. He's looking for people that will remain faithful. All we need to do is follow what he's asked us to do. All we need to do is remain faithful to him, to trust him, to know that he has the authority that he can open doors. And he does want to open doors for you. Jesus opens doors for the ones who are faithful to receive his promises. Jesus opens doors for the ones who are faithful to receive his promises. If we remain faithful, if we are faithful, there's going to be doors open. It's going to open for you. It's going to open for this church. It's going to open for the city. Do you see what I did up there? I think some people are figuring it out now. 412. Pittsburgh, there's going to be doors open in Pittsburgh. There's going to be doors wide open. But what do we need to do? We need to remain faithful. We need to do our part. He's got the doors built, ready to go. He's got the key in it. But we got to step up and be ready to step through with confidence. Influence and impact mean nothing. It's about kingdom advancement. How are we going to advance the kingdom? How are we going to see those promises that he has for us? We're going to remain faithful. And the last thing, if you take away anything today, it's these three things. Trust Christ's authority. He has the key. He can open any door and he can shut any door. No one else can change that. Stay faithful even when you feel weak. It's not going to be easy. It's not always going to be the easiest thing to do. But if we stick to it, if we persevere, we are going to see the reward of our endurance. We're going to see that. Live as an overcomer. We have an identity that's eternal. We have an identity that's in him. He's victorious. That's our identity. We can overcome anything. We should never go into anything feeling defeated, that we can't do it. We serve a God that is victorious. We can do whatever we need to do if it's in his will, if he's the one that's guiding us to that. Live as an overcomer. But man, we need to have that Christ authority. And some today might be wondering, what does he really mean by Christ authority? And I want to make this super simple, is that Christ's authority is this. He's the Son of God, right? He was sent down to the earth and he died on the cross for each and every one of us. He overcame sin forever. Now we are able to have that eternal life that we weren't able to have prior to Jesus. But he died on the cross so that we could have that eternal life. And that eternal life, when we truly trust that and we truly acknowledge that, we do this. We make Jesus the forgiver of our life. We make Jesus the leader of our life. There's two things that we have to do. Allow him to be the forgiver. Allow him to be the leader. That means giving up control. That means handing over the key, right? We hold on to those keys so tight. We don't want to hand them over because we want to be in control. But if we want to see these promises, if we want to see our perseverance turn into this endurance that then turns into a promise revealed, if we want to see that, we got to let go of the key. We got to get rid of it. We have to allow him to be the key holder that he is. So allow him to be the forgiver of your past. Allow him to be the leader of your future. So if there's anyone here today that you've never done that, that you've never handed over the authority to Christ to say, lead me, forgive me for what I've done, but lead me into the future. I want to live for you. If you've never done that before, I'm just gonna ask you to boldly raise your hand. Because why? I wanna pray for you. I wanna pray over you, because we know that there's something that God has for you. There is a door that God wants to open, but first we have to acknowledge who Jesus Christ is in our life. Is there anyone here today that wants to make that commitment? Anyone here today that wants to make Jesus the leader of life, forgiver of our path or our past? No one today, but we're going to see it, because why? We know that we have the opportunity to share God with other people, to share the gospel. So today when we leave, we're going to see someone make that decision, because that's the door that he's going to put in front of some of us today. Amen. Amen. So let me just pray over all of you guys today. Lord God, I thank you for this church, Lord God. I thank you for just the people in this room, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that just the words that you share today, Lord God, that they would fall upon each and every person, Lord God. That they would know that they come from the Creator, Lord God, and that they know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them and that they are victorious. So that when they go through life and things get tough and things get hard and things are uncertain and they're not sure what to do, Lord God, that they keep the authority with you, Lord. That they keep everything with you, just being willing to follow you, to be faithful to you, Lord God, so that when you put the door in front of them, they will confidently walk through it, Lord God, and that they will see the promise that you have for them, Lord God. So, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for this word this morning, that we can take this and we can be the church that you've called us to be, that we can evangelize your gospel, that people would come to know who your Son Jesus Christ is and what he did for us on the cross, Lord. So, Lord, I ask that you would put that as a burning peace in our heart, Lord God, that we want to evangelize to other people, that we want to share the gospel with others so that we can advance the kingdom, so that we can see heaven on earth, Lord God, that we don't have to wait, that we can see it here, that we can see your love, your worship, your unity, your peace here on earth, Lord God. So, Lord, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, and it's in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.